Chapter 68.
They were littermates, Con Arthur said.
He was sitting in a charred, muddy circle of ground next to the giant grizzly's corpse when Kip approached. If anything, Lorcan had been even bigger than Talak. The air stank of Luxin, blood, black powder, burnt fur, and bear meat. Though the corpses had already been dragged away, the ground was muddy with the blood of those Lorcan had killed before dying. From the look of things, the bear had sought out Amrit Kamal's bodyguard and his drafters. Nearby were four dead whites, a number of drafters, and several dozen finely equipped men and horses. They were already being stripped of their goods by Kip's gleaners, who kept uncharacteristically silent as they went about their work. Lorcan had not only been the distraction Kip needed, he had also wiped out much of the Lord of the Air's leadership and protection here. The battle would have gone quite differently without him. And the bear bore the signs of it on his body. Blood matted his fur from dozens of unseen wounds. Many arrows stuck out from his hide. He had singe marks, and part of his jaw was blown off. There was no sign of Talak. Con Arthur must have banished the great bear. No one wanted to see a giant grizzly feeding on men. Instead, the Con sat alone. There were no tears on his cheeks. He looked like a man concussed. Kip said nothing, and the mighty said nothing. Kip gestured and they moved away, some setting up a perimeter, checking the dead. The scene of a just-finished battle was not a safe area. Cruxus stayed nearest, but only close enough to protect him, not close enough to listen in. After a time, Con Arthur found words again.
My father was a great hunter. After we were born, my mother had something burst in her head and was sickly as long as we knew her. She got pregnant again when me and Ronan were six. Twins again. Boys again. Identical again. But she had not the strength for it a second time. Or perhaps we'd broken her somehow. They lived for a while, but she could give no milk, and they refused cows or sheep's or goat's milk, no matter what we did. My father rode many leagues to find a wet nurse, but they refused her too. Perhaps they were wiser than us.
Kip said nothing.
After that, things were different. We moved with him from our village to a little cabin in the deep forest. Father took Ronan and me with him one day and let me take the shot at a magnificent stag. I only wounded it, though. We tracked it to a thicket and my father went in. He surprised a great she-bear. She protected her cubs and he protected his. It was a fight such as none I've ever seen. They both died of their wounds and the four of us were left orphans. No one in our village believed us when we said our father had fought a giant grizzly, much less killed it. None had been seen for 100 years, 200 maybe. They thought we were lying to make our father seem a hero. We took in the cubs. What else were we to do? Ronan and I were 13 years old then. When our powers awakened, it seemed the most natural thing in the world to reach out to them.
Kip said nothing.
You have to understand, they're still wild animals, predators. I've known from the first time I touched Talak's mind that I might step wrong one day, and he interpret me as a threat, and he'd kill me that day, without malice. To call it betrayal would be to call the rock you stumble on a vicious rock. And yet we loved them, as one loves nature itself. He loves me too, but I can't guarantee that he wouldn't feed on my body if he found me dead when he was hungry. Like the world, he is hard, but not cruel. I have buried my mother and my father. We most of us bury our parents, unless our lot is worse and we bury our children. I've buried my baby brothers. Children born too soon often die. And now I've buried my brother, and will bury Lorcan. There is nothing unique in my suffering. 1,000 within shouting distance have suffered worse. The world is hard.
And Kip knew then he had lost him.
But I am not,
Con Arthur said.
Lysach, I lied to you and you forgave me. You deserve my loyalty, my service, my life itself, but I have it not to give. At the end of all things, Talak is just a goddamn bear. But I've seen everyone else I love die, and I can't see him leave me too. I can't risk him in battle one more time. I can't.
I want to ask you to, Kip said.
Con Arthur interrupted.
I have broken faith already. I have just banished Talak. I will cast him, compelling him to go to the deepest part of the forest and to avoid men for the rest of his days.
A cloud descended on Kip. It wasn't as if it were the first time he'd seen someone succumb to battle shock. But Con Arthur? The great, hairy, muscular colossus seemed the very epitome of strength.
"Con Ruachan Arthur," Kip said quietly, "I release Talak. He's done outstanding service to our fight, and he's free to go. At the end of all things, as you say, I don't need him. I do need you. Your people need you here. Your friends need you. You're more than your magic. Your service, your knowledge, your fierceness, your strength is needed here, and I don't dismiss you."
Con Arthur didn't look up from his seat in the mud. He shook his head.
"I'm finished. Call it a resignation or call me a deserter, you decide. Hang me or give me a pack, I'm done."
He stood and looked at his hands, bloody from where he'd been holding Lorcan's fur.
"I'm sorry to cast a pall on your great victory, my lord. You have much to do, I know. Here's your wife now, with news and pressing duties, no doubt. I'll not undercut your authority by defying you in front of your men. I'll await your verdict on the morrow."
Tisis rode up on her little roan. She took in the scene quickly, and her eyes softened, but she turned to Kip.
"I'm sorry, my lord, but the gates are opening. There have been stories of some sort of conflict between you and Don Vio's Con earlier. Your men are spoiling for a fight. Theirs seem to be two. We need you, now."
Damn and double damn.